From Black Planet to Black Twitter, the evolution of Black voices on social media. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. Black users have created trends and memes and viral movements and agitated for change for years on social media. Think April Rain and Oscar So White. Even the Black Lives Matter movement itself, which was born in a Facebook post by an Oakland activist and took life on Twitter. Now, as protests over police brutality and systemic racism continue, social media is a tool for organizing, amplifying, arguing. Yes, it can also often be a racist dumpster fire. But experts say that a big, messy public square might actually be the best place to create lasting political change. Omar Wasso was one of the founders of the social media site Black Planet, an early place for Black expression online. As it happens, he is now a professor at Princeton studying race and protest.
What we've seen since the rise of sites like Facebook and Twitter is the emergence of other sites of Black expression. And in particular, Black Twitter, I think, has become a real engine of articulating Black concerns and a kind of forum where there's a live debate going on around the clock. Something like Black Lives Matter, as an example of an idea emerging on Twitter, championed by activists and organizers to become a national and international movement. And I think Twitter is, I think, where most of that highly political conversation and action is happening.
Where isn't it happening? We've heard for years that Facebook often takes down posts by Black users talking about racism because the algorithm flags it as hate speech.
I'm not aware of Facebook having any particular anti-Black algorithms, but I do find the algorithms that emphasize discussion among, you know, your friend of a friend network are going to have significant racial implications. White people are mostly going to be talking to white people. Black people are mostly going to be talking to their friends. And it makes it harder to have a community-wide conversation where white people can hear what Black people are saying, where Black people can converge behind a hashtag who might not know each other but have common interests. Facebook is really much more a set of private conversations, and those private conversations don't lend themselves to the kind of collective action that can turn into protests and have real political consequences.
You've said that you want to see a more fragmented, sort of multipolar internet. Tell me about that idea and whether the protests and, like you said, this sort of engine of collective action has changed that thinking at all.
Part of what was really exciting in the early days of social media was, you know, this kind of thousand flowers blooming sort of experience. There was Planet Out for the LGBTQ community and Variety. Facebook has homogenized the internet. You don't have to know anything about HTML for formatting a web page. One of the challenges is that you want to be able to have tools that allow you to moderate and have a kind of a broad conversation. But sometimes you want to have a conversation, a within group conversation, right? And, you know, on something like Planet Out, you might have had a different kind of conversation than it is on Facebook. And, you know, we may move towards something that's less consolidated, but the trend seems to be increasingly there are one or two dominant players in every aspect of the web. And I think something is lost in that.
Omar Wasso was a founder of the social media site Black Planet. He now studies race and protest at Princeton. And now for some related links. There's a great piece on The Undefeated from a couple weeks back that's a deep dive on the, quote, rich history behind Black Twitter. It talks about the blessing and the curse that is social media. And yes, it includes Black Planet. There's also a Vice piece on Black Twitter calling out companies for tweeting about their support for Black Lives Matter, but perhaps having a nice long history of not so supportive behavior. TechCrunch reported that Twitter had a record number of downloads and installations last week, which I guess isn't surprising considering how fast it's breaking news. Although, interestingly, more of those installations happened outside the U.S. than inside, possibly because of the combination of people following protests in the U.S. and organizing their own in other countries, and because of people wanting to track the COVID-19 pandemic, which, yes, is also still happening. Finally, on Saturday, a group of 140 scientists who received some funding from the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative, that's the charitable organization set up by Mark Zuckerberg and his wife Priscilla Chan, looked that gift horse in the mouth and sent a letter objecting to Facebook's stance on misinformation and divisive content. Specifically, that post by President Trump that was flagged by Twitter. The scientists said it clearly violates Facebook's policies against inciting violence. In a public statement, the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative said it was completely separate from Facebook and has a different mission. Although in an internal memo published by the Washington Post, Priscilla Chan acknowledged that CZI does share the same leader as Facebook and wouldn't exist without its success. And on Friday, Zuckerberg posted on Facebook saying, basically, we'll think about it all again. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.